south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, I tell you what I hate about living on or near the Gringo Tourist Trail. Gringos. Woke gringos, especially. There are so many of them piling on down here. Thank God they concentrate on the Gringo Tourist Trail so I know where they are and I can stay away. The thing is, you know, when gringos and expats do get down here, they join Facebook and other social media platforms and it multiplies their presence. That means some platforms are totally logical and informational and others are just full of shit. It's logical for newbies to get on those platforms. They want to know where they can buy and sell things, get a plumber, electrician, what gyms to use, an internet service, etc. So, if you're in your local Facebook group, it can be of use. Unfortunately, the bigger those groups are and the more near the Gringo Tourist Trail, there are more woke gringos pile into those things. Not to harp on the subject too much, but I find the vast majority of woke gringos never had a real job up in the States. Oh, they worked all right, usually for government or were teachers or in some kind of industry or service that provides things to government. In other words, most wokesters are disconnected from the real world of productivity. Almost none of them self-made private business men or women. Turns out entrepreneurs that took the risk early in life to start a business don't seem to be woke at all. Isn't that funny? Speaking of totally woke expat platforms, this doctor, an American doctor living in Ecuador, posted his thoughts about the COVID thing in one of those expat forums just recently. Here's a little of what he said in brief. He said, and I'll paraphrase this a bit, "As a medical professional, I staunchly supported the efforts of the public health authorities when it came to COVID-19. I believe that the authorities responded to the largest public health crisis of our lives with compassion, diligence, and scientific expertise. I was with them when they called for lockdowns, vaccines, boosters. Well, I was wrong. We in the scientific community were wrong, and it cost lives. I can see now the scientific community, from the CDC to the WHO to the FDA and their representatives, repeatedly overstated the evidence and misled the public on its own views and policies, including on natural versus artificial immunity, as well as school closures and disease transmission." Then he says, "They lied about the effectiveness of masks and vaccine effectiveness in general, and safety, especially among the young. Amazingly, some of these obfuscations continue to the present day." Then he said, "The COVID rules did terrible damage to Ecuador's school children. A UN survey shows that 15% of rural high school students in Latin America dropped out during the pandemic, mostly to help their families on the farm. These kids will never finish their education, continuing the cycle of poverty in Latin America. They'll never go back." There's more. The article goes on in the same vein. You get the idea. This doc who bought in at first is pissed off, and rightly so. Now get this. His letter appeared in an expat forum, and 9 out of 10 expats who commented called this guy a misinformation shill. So 9 out of 10 expats responding to this doc's screed came from wokesters living in Ecuador who called him a propagator of conspiracies. They labeled him a dangerous anti-vaxxer, and he didn't even mention being an anti-vaxxer at all in that article. He just said some huge mistakes were made and we're paying for them. But man, the expat wokesters came out in force and really dumped on this guy. Oh, and the people who dumped on him, none of them were in the medical field. They were just know-it-alls who bought the party line. So in a nutshell, that's one thing that really pisses me off. That the wokesters come down here to Latin America, but thank God they only pile in mostly in gringoized areas where they somehow find each other. By the way, I was talking to a beautiful 35-year-old Latina lady just yesterday. She's really educated too, has 2 bachelor's degrees, and works as an administrator in one of the internet companies. Has something like 25 people under her, mostly men. You know, you like to have a woman boss, huh? A really, really hot woman boss, too. That might be problematic for some guys. Though we've all heard those stories about women employees who have women bosses. There can be a whole different kind of atmosphere going on there. All I can say is, wow, she was one of those, you know, what you might call a unicorn. So anyway, she said at her company, a pretty big company, a Latin-based company, all Spanish speakers, no English. She told me when COVID came, they all had to get the vax. If not, they'd lay off. So everybody in the company, it's a big company too, got the vax. She said after the second jab, her period went away for 3 months. And when it came back the fourth month, it lasted 15 days. She said she never took the third jab. She refused. She said the ladies in the company talk, and there's more ladies than guys. And there's lots of stories like that going around. Lots of vaccine trauma, damage, and after effects. She said most of the people were gung-ho to get the facts, but now they're pretty much all disillusioned about it. And no one's lining up for the free boosters, the third, the fourth, whatever. Oh, and another thing she told me, moving up the corporate ladder. She's been, I think, 8 years with that company. She said in that time she's had 4 promotions, and all her bosses were men. But for the last promotion, she said, the guy, the jefe, the boss, a married guy with kids, what else? He said she was in line for a big promotion, but to get it, he'd have to sleep with her first. She told him, no, up yours, went home and cried and wrote a resignation letter. The next day, she went to Human Resources. It's a big company, so they have human resources. She handed in the letter, told him she was quitting. Told the human resources lady the whole story, and it was a lady she spoke to. So she figured her complaint would get some traction. Well, apparently she went home that day, got a phone call to come into human resources the next day. She had a meeting or interview with another guy, a big boss in another division of the company, located in another building across the parking lot. He said to her, look, we don't want to lose you. We're going to give you that promotion, but you're going to work for me in another division. By the way, this whole conversation I was having with her was in Spanish. She spoke no English, but her Spanish was perfectly clear. You know, some people have that gift. Some English speakers do too. She spoke clear as a bell, like an audio book. I didn't miss a single word. Anyway, she took the job and has been working at that job probably a year now, figuring that Wolf would get fired or reprimanded and she'd never have to see him again. Luckily, she said in the last year, she's only seen the guy maybe 3 times walking across the parking lot. Still, she said, a bit of rage creeps in when she sees or thinks about that guy. So that's just another little example of the lag time down here, even when it comes to employee rights and sexual abuse in the workplace. So I guess in big companies like that, they're about 20 years behind the States and other first world countries on the sexual abuse in the workplace front. And in smaller mom and pop businesses, it could be 50 years behind. You know, this is a macho society. It's a lot different than up in the States. If you tell an off-color joke at the water cooler, even that might be enough to get you shit canned, or at least forced into some hours of sensitivity training. By the way, did I tell you how glad I am that I live in Latin America? Oh, and did I tell you this lady's really a bombshell? That's got to make corporate life for a lady all that much worse down here. And of course, being an executive at a big company, she doesn't dress sexy. She wears business suits, you know, kind of conservative and formal and all that, but man, she's one of those Latina bombshells that's just busting out all over. And really, if you got it, you got it. You can't do anything about it. However, she's also got a really big brain. So we're sitting there talking, having coffee and stuff. And I found out, you know, she's 35 and doesn't have any kids. I said, you know, that's so unusual. Latina, 35, no kids, not married, no boyfriend. Then she told me she had a long-term boyfriend for about 8 years. She broke it off 2 years ago when she found out he cheated on her multiple times. Wow, how unusual is that? She said he treated her nice, but he had all the macho qualities you see in Latino guys, even the executive types. Most of these guys, she said, just have to have a double life. They have to have a lot of ladies on the line. She learned her lesson the hard way, she said, and she'll never go out with a Latino guy again. Sound familiar? Man, if I only had a nickel every time a Latina told me that very same thing. Anyway, she said she hadn't had a date in 2 years since she broke up with the guy. And she said, not that guys aren't hitting on her every day and lining up to ask her out. Basically, she said, even the single and divorced executive types in her company offer no attraction for her, she says. She said quite firmly she'll never go out with a Latino guy again. She said they drink too much, they're not that smart, they love sports and hanging with their buddies. She said their beer, their buddies, and their affairs mean more to them than a good, solid relationship. On top of that, she says, she's constantly getting hit on by married guys. And she says it's like they've got no shame about it. And I could see the lament on her face when she said, educated, smart Latinas have a very tough time finding a mate. She says, if you're over 30, even if you're smart and good looking, you have to set the bar for a guy pretty low. In other words, she said, even if the guy's an executive, he's almost always dumber than you are. Though, she said, if you hooked up with him, that would have to be your secret. You could never let him know about it because it would be too damaging to his king of the castle macho image. Which reminded me of what another Latina told me, a Latina doctor in her late 20s. She says she's having a hell of a time finding a boyfriend. She was nice looking too, not a bombshell, but she had a kid before she went to medical school, and wouldn't you know, the guy was a deadbeat womanizer. She said pretty much the same thing. Smart girls have a hard time finding smart guys. All you have to do is go to a university graduating class, whether it's nursing, any of the medical professions, business administration, whatever. You'll see here in Latin America, the overwhelming majority of students graduating are women. Something like 70% women to 30% guys. And in some fields and careers, it's even more lopsided. So what you've got is women getting degrees at twice the rate of Latino guys. That means smart, educated women are having a hard time finding a smart, educated guy. The numbers just don't work. Doesn't that sound familiar? Same kind of stories up in the States, right? There's yet another plug for the Gringo Advantage. Because it really is true, even with woke gringos down here, guy or gal, you almost never meet an expat who is an average slug. They're always above average, some way above average. Average people would never think of leaving Milwaukee, Cleveland, or Jersey. Why would they? They're easily amused. In fact, I've met some exceedingly brilliant expats, guys and gals a lot smarter than me. There's a hell of a lot of them down here in disproportionate numbers. It's cool and a pleasure to be friends with people who are smarter than you are. It's like tennis, golf, handball, or even chess. If all you do is consistently play with people who are worse than you are, you'll never be challenged to sharpen up your game. And what's the fun in that? Well, there's no worries on that front if you come down here and get your plan B going. You've heard that saying, you are the sum of your five best friends. And if you hang around with a bunch of dickhead losers who keep up on Kanye, Machine Gun Kelly, Kardashians, and only read the sports pages, well, you certainly won't be pondering the expat life or having a plan B anytime soon. Oh, and speaking of expat social media groups. Now, as you know, I'm not on Facebook, Dickcock, or Instacrap. But I do use Signal. In fact, some really cool expat guys and gals, many of whom were my previous seminar attendees and now live in Guatemala, have put together an expat forum on Signal. It's pretty cool. Lots of smart expats on there throwing questions out there and getting immediate solutions. Whether it's construction, horticulture, solar setups, purifying water, questions about how to do anything. Got some real brainiacs on that forum, including Captain Mango. He's smarter drunk than most people are when they're sober. So if your idea is to come down to Guatemala as your plan B, you can hook up with that group. No wokesters, please. I'm on it too. I see all the messages, but I'm a voyeur. I mostly just watch. Just saying, they got the right idea. They put together a forum, but put it on Signal. Instead of doing it on Facebook or Google Hangouts, where they steal your dancing info and sell it to the highest bidder. Not Signal, though. But you knew that already, right? Meanwhile, let's get back on that chicken bus. Hey, you remember? Last show or the show before, we were talking about how chicken buses look sweet for photo ops and everyone wants to ride one at least once. Nevertheless, they're pretty damn dangerous. Well, the buses not so much. The drivers, yes. A funny thing, too, just as I was recording that show, another news flash came across the Panama News Services and Media, where a chicken bus went off a cliff and killed 39, at least. They don't even know how many died, but at least 39. As if you needed further proof that travel by chicken bus is not recommended. It's not taking your life in your hands, it's taking your life out of your hands and putting it in the hands of a pilot, a driver who likes to drink. Not to mention he probably doesn't even have a legal license. You know, you can buy a license down here. We've talked about that before. In fact, I know exactly where to go right now in a variety of Latin capital cities. Usually in the central district where there's lots of government buildings and there's little kiosks set up on every corner with signs and machines offering to make copies for you. Because when you're in a government area, there's lots of people shuffling in and out of different buildings, standing in lines with their paperwork. They need multiple copies of their documents because every place they go, they get asked for one. It's a massive bureaucracy and there are guys with little kiosks and copy machines everywhere. Anyway, I'm not kidding you. You can go up to one of these little kiosks where a guy's making copies for, you know, 10 cents a piece. Just ask him in Spanish with a nod and a wink, where can I get me a quick driver's license? Tell him you're in a hurry. And believe me, he'll know a guy who knows a guy. So no matter what you might be reading or hearing in the Latin newspapers where they say they're cracking down on all that, the fact is, and don't tell anyone, I got one of those licenses about a year ago just to have a backup document. Because sometimes, you know, like in a bank and such, or let's say you're signing a year's contract to rent a place, they'll ask you for more than one ID. So anyway, I got this license, cost me $100, and it's absolutely a dead ringer for a real one. You can't tell the difference. But I knew it wasn't registered in the system. It couldn't be. But it had a QR code and a readable strip. And I thought, well, if I get pulled over by the cops or something and I give them this license and they run that QR code, which they probably won't, they don't even know how. If they did, I'd get burned, right? But what would they see, really, if they scanned the QR code? Well, I downloaded a scanner app to my phone. I don't like to put apps in my phone. You know those apps, especially the free ones, they're all talking to each other and stealing your data. So anyway, I downloaded the app just to see what would show up on that QR code. I thought if a cop ever saw this thing and it didn't scan right, then I'd be in a heap of trouble, right? Well, anyway, surprise, surprise, the QR code pulled up all the dats, all the right info on me. I was shocked. I thought, hell, the counterfeiters are really getting sophisticated. They're one or two or ten steps ahead of the government slugs, the guys who talk a big game about cracking down on that stuff. Now, I'm not recommending you go down and get one of these things yourself, much less drive on it. But I'll tell you, if you want to really be anonymous and don't have a cleaning lady to go get you a chip for your phone or pay a bill at the bank, because, you know, if you're buying a phone or a phone chip, they will ask for an official government ID. They don't care whose it is. If you want to stay way under the radar, get one of those licenses and get a SIM card or two. Of course, you can give the guy you buy the license from any name you want. So basically, here I'm giving you the dope on what some astute expats do when they want to get really under the radar. Now, as for me, I don't really have to do that, or you don't either if you have a cleaning lady or maintenance guy, because let's say you want to get a new phone, a new chip for your phone, new internet service, even electric utility service at your house or apartment, or an anonymous Miami mailbox. Just give your cleaning lady or maintenance guy the dough, send him down to the utility or phone company, whatever, and it'll be his or her name on the factura, the receipt. You will never be registered in the system, but he or she will. And your maintenance guy or cleaning lady will be glad to do it. They don't care. Plus, you maybe give them an extra $5 or $10 for doing the errand. Now, again, I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you what many astute expats do, especially astute expats who've been burned up in the States. Maybe they got their identity stolen, their credit ruined, took too many stupid restaurant selfies and are all over the Google Maps maps. Who knows? But I've talked to a lot of expats who get down here. They say, man, I just want to lower my profile. I'm just sick of this Big Brother surveillance shit. I want to go back to this simple life as much as I can anyway. Is that how you're feeling, maybe? Well, you know you can't do it up in the first world anymore, but down here in Latin America, it is an option. Oh, and if you really want to get under the radar and you're a bit leery of trying something like that, or you don't speak good enough Spanish to get your point across, you can always have your faithful lawyer run interference for you. If you got the right guy, he'll have his staff go down and get you that cell phone and chip and sign you up for utility services and stuff. Oh, and as far as staying under the radar when you have your Miami mailbox, which sends your stuff down to whatever country you are in Central or South America, right? My advice is you should never give them your real address. Give them your lawyer's address. When you get a package, they always send you an email. They say, it's here, come and get it, or do you want us to deliver it to your address? Just check that box that says you'll always go down to their office and pick it up. I mean, really, why should you let them know where you live? What if some bad boys get a hold of the client list and addresses at your mailbox company? Lots of disgruntled employees out there, people who hate their jobs. For one thing, they know what you've been ordering from Amazon and stuff, and you're getting TVs and computers and cameras, whatever. Wouldn't that just be the perfect info for a bad guy or no good nick to have on top of your address? Get the picture? Okay, moving on. Now, as you probably know, the next seminar, March 17th through 24th, will be in Guatemala and El Salvador. Speaking of El Salvador, there have been lots of articles coming out lately, like this one from Reuters, where the news services, governments, the IMF, and banksters worldwide are suddenly eating crow. On top of that, why do people even use the phrase eating crow? Doesn't make sense, huh? Even news services like Reuters, who diss El Salvador and President Bukele all the time, they're admitting now, and I'll paraphrase this, that El Salvador's state of emergency to combat gangs has widespread support from the public, and they're backing him like they never backed anyone before. Turns out, after President Bukele put 64,000 gang members behind bars, suddenly it's safe to walk the streets, even at 3 in the morning. In fact, the article says that gang murderers and terrorists are fleeing and escaping the country in droves because they know Bukele means business. I wonder where they're going. They've heard about Biden's open door, I should say, open wall policy for sure. In fact, the article says there's a large, unspecified number of gang members who fled the country, places north, like Mexico, Guatemala, and the good old US of A. How sweet it is. Yep, coming to a neighborhood near you, courtesy of Brain Damaged Joe. Of course, in the article it says, human rights organizations are against Bukele's policy. Though the vast majority of people in El Salvador say they approve of the hardline approach and feel much safer. A survey this month by CID Gallup poll found that 92% of the Salvadorian population, 92%, completely support Bukele and his crackdown on gangs. As I mentioned a couple shows ago, extortion, which is one of the gang's primary sources of income, has plummeted to almost zero. Many residents are saying, as August of last year rolled around, that's just 6 months ago, the extortion trade has virtually disappeared. In fact, the transportation minister for El Salvador estimated bus companies had already saved $50 million in the last 6 months because they didn't have to ante up those fees. And there are so many personal anecdotes, too. Like, for example, this one. Get this. In Salvadorian city Santa Tecla, a city just outside the capital of San Salvador, 45-year-old mechanic Manuel Martinez said he had paid extortion money for 12 years. He said every 2 weeks he'd give money to a hitman from MS-13 who threatened to kill his wife and four children if he didn't pay up. And he said he was often forced to fix the gang members' cars for free. And at Christmas time, he'd have to pay a double extortion bonus. But he says, since last July, 6 months now, not a single person has come to collect. First time in 12 years. And he's quoted as saying, "I feel calmer. I can actually go for a walk outside. I even go out to walk at the night now with my young children," he says. "Before, I didn't even think of doing that. I'd never take them out." Oh, and get this. The article says, "The results and the success of Bukele's crackdown have led other nearby countries in the region to consider similar policies," you think? Including Honduras, which just started implementing a pared-down version of Bukele's policies last December. Meanwhile, human rights groups like Human Rights Watch are getting lots of press dissing Bukele's plan, citing data that reports human rights violations and minors as young as 12 being held in prisons, to which Bukele and his enforcers say, "If you're in a gang, you're going to get picked up. How do we tell if you're in a gang? Easy, you're telling us with your gang tattoos." And the fact is, no matter what the whiny human rights groups say, nobody in Salvador gets a gang tattoo unless they're in a gang. Because if you have a gang tattoo and are not in that gang, they'll kill you. And if you're in a gang and don't get one, they'll kill you. You get it? You got a tattoo, you're in a gang, you're a criminal, you go to jail. But those whiny first world human rights groups, by the way, they're all run by do-gooder gringos and gringas. Isn't that funny? They care oh so much more about the rights of the criminals than they do of the innocent population. And man, I'll tell you, the first world is sick. I'm so glad I'm living in Latin America. Come on down. Except you wokesters, stay home. You know what I think those weepy, whiny NGO do-gooders, when it comes to this issue, gang crime, it's obvious they never live in a country that's run by gangs. They live in nice, gated, guarded, cozy communities up in the States. Most have never seen a real gang member except on TV. They're the save and relocate the poor crowd, but not in my neighborhood. What they used to call in the 70s and 80s, limousine liberals, remember? You know, I've been to El Salvador many times before Bukele became president, when the gangs were everywhere, mostly in the big capital city of San Salvador. You know, I'd really like to sit down in a room with all those human rights do-gooders and say something like this. Imagine living in your home for 30 years, and one day a gang member shows up and tells you he likes your house. Then he says you have 2 hours to leave. You can take your clothes, but you have to leave everything else there. You call the cops and they advise you the best thing to do is leave and let the guy have it. Those are the threats average hardworking people live under when gangs are in control of your neighborhood. On top of that, in El Salvador, 85% of businessmen were paying extortion fees too. But wait a minute. All the human rights do-gooders are saying, you can't just pick up everyone with a neck or a face tattoo. Just round them up and put them in jail. They each have to have a lawyer. They have to have an advocate. They need a trial, hearings with judges. They need to go through the legal system. But most importantly, you need proof. You need a witness. Only problem is, if you're a witness, you're going to die. And your family too. Those human rights activists, what's wrong with them? They got brain cancer or something? By the way, when you read articles about Bukele and his massive success against crime, it's simply overwhelming when you read the comment sections in those articles. It seems nearly 100% of Americans are for exactly what Bukele is doing. They're saying, wouldn't it be nice if we elected a guy like that? A guy who'd force the police to sweep through towns, collect up all the gang members with neck and face tattoos, and make them serve entire sentences with no early release? Well, that would never happen because the judges in the States are all bleeding heart liberal. They love putting a guy in jail for 2 months and then releasing him back into the streets. Oh, and think how that would affect the music industry. What a shame. All the rappers and reggaetoneros would end up in the slammer. why the entertainment industry would have to start churning out real, non-violent, non-vulgar music again. God, do you think society and the TikTok crowd could handle that? Nah, up in the States, it'll never happen. Too many weak and limp-wristed DAs and judges. Hey, how'd you like that rant? A little too much for you? Well, anyway, I don't think I'm in any danger of getting shot. There isn't a single rapero or reggaetonero that listens to this show. I've been told you need an IQ of at least 45 to listen to the Expat Files. Hey, I'm not making that up. One of my haters sent me an email once insulting you guys, my listeners, saying you need a 45 IQ to appreciate Johnny's show. And I wrote back something like, who's the real dummy here? You're violating your own wokester rules. Wokesters don't believe in IQs. Like mathematics, IQs are an oppressive white man's construct. That shut him up. He couldn't think of a good comeback. Not even a lame one. Oh, and I forgot to mention another thing about El Salvador. Remember how a couple of shows ago I was talking about how the banksters, governments, the IMF, etc. are dumping on Bukele and his Bitcoin experiment practically everywhere in the media? Well, crow is being eaten again. Bukele and Salvador's number one critic, the IMF, you know, that international money lending organization that third world countries have to suck up to every year in order to balance their budgets and not declare bankruptcy. Well, you know, every chance they get, they've been more than sharply critical of El Salvador in the past. Of course, it's all about the fact they hate that El Salvador adopted Bitcoin. Guess what? They're eating crow too. They just came out with a statement that says, quote, the risk over El Salvador's embrace of Bitcoin have not materialized. Man, they must have had to swallow hard to admit that. I wonder why. Do you think it's maybe because facts are facts and they finally took a good look at them? Anyway, the IMF, you know, the International Monetary Fund, issued that in a statement after visiting El Salvador and doing an audit. So the risks and the whinings and the warnings they've been predicting for the past year or so have not materialized according to their own press release. What a concept. So it's true, there exists exactly one third world country that does not have to suck up to the IMF every year. Though I can see the IMF's point why they dissed Bukele and Bitcoin hundreds of times in every financial journal. If I was able to control a country's politics and economics by loading them down with debt, why would I ever promote Bitcoin? Why would I want a poor little country to pull itself up by its own bootstraps? Oh, one last thing. You can still sign up for my Expat Insider Seminar. Just go to expatplanb.com. It's a month away. You've still got plenty of time to get on board.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.